Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It is Wednesday, October 8th, 2025. How are we doing, Nico?
We are doing, sir. We are doing, especially for this week and especially for the just sheer amount of releases that we've had this week. And they just keep coming. 11 Labs yesterday, either yesterday or early this morning, dropped their workflow builder. So in case you guys missed it, we were playing around with OpenAI's agent builder yesterday. And I was also watching the interview with Sam Altman from Dev Day, where he was talking about the releases and he was talking about his favorites and things like that. And yeah, to me, he's doing everything right in terms of, like, Anthropic is putting out stuff that developers can use for sure, right? It's not necessarily stuff that anyone can use. Like, being able to use Claude to build applications, for sure. Okay, cool. But not many people know what to do with that. Right. So, like, you build an app and it goes into an artifact, and then 9 times out of 10, you have to download it as a TSX. Okay. And for most people, there's like, yeah, right. Like, there's just that stop of like, all right.
Well, last frickin' mile, man. Can't wait for AI to handle that. But I think that's what you're about to get into.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? Is we've gone into like this second, actually this third revolution sort of, which I mean, if I'm being totally honest, it's actually fourth, right? So like the first was being able to do like custom GBTs, and then you had gems and you had projects and stuff. And then we went through the whole phase of like, okay, well, actually we can do more than that. We can do like AI driven workflows. Right. And so we started doing AI driven workflows with like Zapier and Make and stuff like that. And then started doing AI driven agents. Right. So like autonomous agency and allowing agents to actually like go and do things for long periods of time and come back. Like the workflow is something. And so the difference between those two is like, especially in like HubSpot, like agent builder, you're not necessarily asking a HubSpot agent to go do something that's going to take even the agent like 20 to 30 minutes or whatever to go do. You're generally asking an agent to do something that you're expecting to get back within that minute or like minute and a half or something like that.
And I think they actually time out at 10 minutes currently.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Because like, okay, so like what's a good example of something that takes longer than that? I'm working on an application and basically needed to update the app and also make it like easy for other agents to be able to read so that I can work on it on different platforms. So GitHub Copilot has agents, and then they also have a chat interface you can talk to. And the chat interface will allow you to edit your stuff in your repo, but your agents version of that will actually go and work in your repo just like Codex. So I'm able to sit there, you know, I'm about to head out to dinner, and it's just like, okay guys, go through the entire repo and notate at the top of each file the importance of the file, what its relation is to the rest of the app, what its relation is to other files, you know, any critical aspects that are a part of it, you know, things that need to be cautious when changing, right? And then I walk away. And I'll come back, you know, whatever, 20 minutes later or something like that. And it's gone through 230 files and done the notation perfectly on all of them. Right. So that's like this third layer. And now we have this fourth layer, which is agent systems and agent networks. And like with Agent Builder from OpenAI or any, like, where have we seen this before? It's been in pockets. It's been in like N8N or Lindy. Which even Lindy is actually more like Zapier, so it's not quite an agent network in the same way. What's the difference? The difference is kind of what we looked at yesterday, where most agentic workflows, again, they're top to bottom, hit the button, it does the thing. Sometimes they can contain like LLMs in between, but there's not generally going to be a conversation that happens. It's pretty much just going to be this one workflow action, and either it goes or it doesn't go. With agents, that's where you can have this actual like interaction going on, where you can have a chat and it goes to an agent, then it goes to another chat response to tell you what it is that it did. Then maybe you give it some more instruction. Then maybe that goes through a whole loop of different systems and comes back and does something else. It's multifunctional. And at the same time, it uses like a bevy, or you can use like a bevy of different LLM models that are customized in such a way that they're basically individual agents in and of themselves. So those individual agent workflows now become just part of a much larger network. And so this like fourth iteration that we're getting into, or I guess this next one, this fifth iteration, is building agentic network systems and connecting those together. So like 11 Labs released their agent builder yesterday. And so you might think, well, why bother with 11 Labs agent builder when OpenAI has an agent builder or N8N has an agent builder? Like, what, you know, which one am I going to use? All of them. Because you're going to build your purpose tool in GPT or in agent builder. And then that's going to, at some point, use a webhook that's going to go out to your 11 Labs agent, your 11 Labs agent setup. And that's going to do whatever it is you want to do. And it's going to come kick back over. Maybe that goes to your agent, and based on whatever the audio is, who knows, gets put together. You know, if you wanted to do, oh, I don't know, like audio previews pretty much for anything, but have them in your own voice, or have them be able to get attached to either video that you put together, or get attached to content that you're putting out. It's a really easy way to customize very much all of your outputs, reduce hallucination to zero, and have these flawless networks running where, I mean, it's honestly, it's like a thing of beauty watching agent networks run, as opposed to like trying to connect API systems to another API system to get it to do the thing, but then there's no logic behind it. So you got to program some algorithm in order to handle some logic, but it kind of flubs it. So, you know, it's not exactly the right thing.
And I'm glad like you're describing it as these layers. We always talk about the foundation. It's just going to keep raising, right? And if you compare that to how it's been, like with any SaaS software, right? How often is it when the new thing comes out, you get to keep all the old stuff and build on it? Like, one of the worst problems with HubSpot right now is as they develop so fast, we have to make decisions like, okay, I spent a ton of time building this workaround. I know this new thing will let me do it, but that means all the work spent on the workaround, meaningless, right? I can't use any of it. I probably got to wind it. I got to undo it, right? Yep. Instead of just as the, and this is the beauty of things like MCP and just agents and intelligence, right? Like, it all builds on itself. So when you see the agent builders show up, it's funny because we saw a bunch of these kind of workflow design tools started coming out last year because they made it seemingly easier to access the LLMs alongside your other tools, but it was still hard, like, to put the workflow together in a meaningful way, to prompt exactly how you needed it and when you needed it. And meanwhile, the LLMs and like the core structure, they're focusing on foundation so that when they enter that arena, whenever they decide to, it's so smooth and it starts to remove all this complexity that has been in our way, like forever, since digital became a thing, right? We could not stop. It's literally, we could not build in a way. And there's one, because humans just aren't good at this part, but two, like planned obsolescence, and we need to release a new model every year, all that kind of bullshit, right? Drives the wrong kind of development and innovation, because we got to make monies. Mm-hmm. And instead, all this AI stuff, just building and building and building, knowing that there is an end state where cost goes to zero.
Right. Yeah, that's the one thing that, like, I don't know if most people realize that, like, yeah, so here's another, right? Like, everybody, talk about, like, bandwagon, like, everyone's on it. Right. So like Anthropic doesn't really have to worry about payment systems, because they're going to have like A2P or whatever. OpenAI signed up with Stripe, so they have their own payment system. Claude's got computer use. Chat has operator. So now Google has Gemini computer use. Right. And I don't know any of you that like haven't seen Gemini in browser, but like, you know, that's its own thing. Hey, Gemini, what's going on, buddy?
Hey there, I'm just here and ready to help you out. What can I do for you today?
I was wondering if you can I'm on a podcast right now live, and I was wondering if you can tell our listeners about the new Gemini 2.5 computer use.
All right, so Gemini 2.5 computer use is this new AI model that's really good at using computers, just like a person would. It can navigate websites, fill out forms, and do all sorts of tasks by understanding what it sees on the screen. It's currently available to developers and is apparently pretty fast and accurate. Is there anything specific you'd like to know about it, or would you like me to summarize its capabilities?
Why'd you say apparently?
So yeah, and I mean, you can definitely tell that it's going to, yeah, like you can see like their ability to perform tasks against everyone else, obviously quite a bit higher. And again, this is Gemini 2.5. So like Gemini 3 is coming soon, right? Like very soon. There's no way that like 4.5 comes out, then OpenAI drops all this stuff. 11 Labs drops all this stuff. And then all of a sudden there's going to be like nothing from Google. Like I never see that ever becoming like the case.
I mean, literally. So. They have the best possible position to make the best possible decisions, because they see all search traffic. Like they know, and I'm sure they've used AI.
Yeah.
To be like, hey, bro, just give us a flag and we'll just hit the go live button. Like whenever you're ready, totally your call, because we know we can't even fathom all of the data that you're computing right now. So just whenever you're ready, like we've got a team ready to hit that button. So.
Yeah, and I wanted to, I know that I sent this to you earlier, but I want, hopefully this doesn't get, I mean, if you guys are watching live, then you don't have to worry about it. But I want to show you guys a couple different videos real quick, and one of which is this one about a woman who is fighting a legal battle, and I want you guys to pay real close attention towards the end of this.
Over it. In Southern California, 72-year-old Lynn White was on her own after losing an eviction trial. Faced with no money for an appeals lawyer, she needed a miracle.
This AI tool, it is beyond comprehension.
She found ChatGPT and used it to do the work that would have cost thousands from a trained lawyer.
It was very helpful. It pointed me to the statutes.
At what point did you stop using a lawyer and just start using AI?
In post, I saw that I can handle this appeal on my own. AI was helping me draft the motions and the briefs.
That's not to say the AI was perfect. She says sometimes a program created hallucinations, legal citations to help her case that don't actually exist.
That's the thing with large language models. They're not tethered to the truth.
Damien Charlatine is a legal researcher in Paris. His database of AI hallucinations shows hundreds have already made it into U.S. courts.
Smith versus Johnson sounds like a case name. And for the AI, it's enough that it sounds like its case name, regardless of whether it is an actual case.
Vinland showed us her hacks to avoid hallucinations, pitting AI engines like Perplexity against ChatGPT.
We're in ChatGPT right now. It uses this case as a citation, and then I would go over to Perplexity.
So you're using one AI to fact check another AI?
I am.
In the terms of service for the AI program she uses, it states they should not be used as substitutes for a qualified professional, but Lynn is a believer.
If it wasn't for ChatGPT, I would have given up.
And in her case, that virtual legal assistant had a real Perry Mason moment.
What was the outcome?
The outcome was good for me, bad for the plaintiff.
Do you think you could have done it without AI?
Absolutely not.
Armed only with arguments shaped by AI, Lynn notching a win. The judgment against her overturned for now.
Did it feel like?
So there's two things to this. One is, don't let age limit what it is that you can accomplish, right? Especially with these tools. So you don't have to be young to know how to use this. You just have to know how to ask questions. There is no real learning curve to it necessarily, right? For the average person, there's really no learning curve. The second thing is what we have been talking about for months now, and blows my mind to see this in the wild from someone who is not in our ecosystem, because the amount of times that I have been asked the question, yeah, but what's the best model? Yeah, but which one should I focus on? Which one should I be using? And here, out in the wild, so to speak, this person that needed help with their legal battles understood the importance of using two models in order to ensure that the accuracy was correct. And, I mean, of the two, she used, the most perfect two models, like Perplexity, obviously going to check only realistic sources. It legitimately can't make anything up, because if it doesn't exist online, then it doesn't exist. And then you've got Chat, which, obviously is going to help you and try to formulate things for you. So you could give it the evidence from Perplexity, and then it can go look into that case and pull more details and whatnot. It's amazing to me.
And it's entirely possible that at some point she asked, GPT, how can I double check you?
Right.
And it was you can use Perplexity, or, right? It's just and what she was saying at the end, she would have given up, right? She had already lost the case, right? Mm-hmm. And what's super interesting is the guy telling us that all these fake cases
are
already making it into the system. Why? Because the professionals that we're paying a lot of money to are using these tools as well. They know, or they think they know, they do know that we don't know any better, and we don't know how to use these tools ourselves, and that's why we pay them a lot of money. But mm-hmm. they're time crunched, profitability at all costs. They're going to use tools. They're not going to check as much as they should. They're going to cut every possible corner. And now we are seeing this enter the system. So how long are you going to trust this old system and say that it's somehow better than AI? When literally, 72, dude. I would have to imagine, but it doesn't have to be this way. But given she's in California, could be some tech literacy of some sort to just get in there and do it. But the key is if you're in this moment, and this is what we've also talked about, it just takes the one time where you're just like, God, I got to figure something out right now. And the only thing I can get a response from right now is AI. Because I'm not calling anybody. I don't even know who to call. Google search. I can't go through all that stuff. I don't know what it means. Right? But I can get responses from GPT right now. Mm-hmm. And just that feeling of forward movement, that activation, right, is powerful. Because it's so easy not to move. Not to move at all, right? If you think that it's just a huge mountain, right?
Yep.
And it's take notes, folks.
Seriously. I mean, like, I don't know how, like, we show so many examples all the time. We talk to you guys all the time about, like, how important it is to just, like, very quickly onboard yourself. Like, just dip your toe in the water. Just do something. I don't care if it's rewriting an email at this point. I really don't. Because, like, even that will grab your attention enough to make you say, like, oh, I wonder what else it can do. Hopefully. Right? And to me, it's like, again, it's a freight train in motion. What I really loved is in Sam's interview, he talked about the fact that WorkSlop is something that's existed for a long time, right? It legitimately just takes somebody who's lazy about their job to slop up the job and do a sloppy job of putting something together, right? It's happened. It always happens. So he was like, you know, people talk about AI slop. It's like, but I'm not really sure that that's very different. He's like, I don't know that the amount necessarily is exponentially increasing yet, because we haven't ever measured how much human slop there was.
Right.
So we're only picking on this thing, like, because we don't want to look at ourselves, and we don't want to assume that we are incorrect in that way.
TPS report.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so much human slop.
Like, so a while back, I think it was like a year ago, there was an interview with Elon and a few other guys, and they were talking about machines and machine production and how long things were going to take. And Elon said something that was pretty, it wasn't amazing to me, but I was just like, oh man, I can't wait to see what that looks like. And actually, I want to go back to now this is medical knowledge. Let's see if I get one robot. Okay, perfect. So I wanted to just basically take a step backward. Now look at the dates. I want you guys to pay real close attention. Okay. This is March 1 9th. Year ago.
March 9th, 2024.
Before it was powered by
OpenAI. Figure one, what do you see right now?
I see a red apple on a plate in the center of the table, a drying rack with cups and a plate, and you standing nearby with your hand on the table.
Great. Can I have something to eat?
Sure thing.
Look at the hands. How amazingly oversized they are.
Great.
Moves pretty.
Can you explain why you did what you just...
So then they swapped from OpenAI's model to their own model, and they started creating their own physical AI model with NVIDIA. So this is version 2, which is using their new AI system, Helix.
Hey, figures, can you come in? Okay, I'd like to try something new. Even though this is the very first time that you've ever seen these items, I'd like you to use your new Helix AI and try to reason through where you think they belong in the scene, and then work together to put them away. Does that sound good?
So we went from one model with one interaction that needed direct command to know where to put things. Look at the hand, how much smaller we are already. Third point, the activation is a little bit smaller. Okay, and here's where we are as of yesterday. I don't know if you guys don't get it. I'm not sure if you guys get it or not, but that's for your house. That's for your house. You have to be pretty oblivious to not see what's going on here with the fact that it has a costume that it wears that you can change. I love this. I so love this. It's not, it's so like everything that they do is so like intuitive. Just this aspect of it alone, like, right? The fact that it's using fabrics. And there was this. You're not doing joints like that, this smooth with this level of bevels and stuff like that. That's not for a factory. No one gives a shit about that in a factory. No one. But if you're a Hollywood superstar, if you're somebody with a lot of money, and you really want one of these things in your home by Christmas, that looks pretty good. Looks like something Apple would make, right? I don't know what to tell you guys. This one, this was really sick.
Yeah.
That it can actually, like, has that much articulation in the foot. And then I kind of knew that it was going in the home when you saw this part.
Yeah.
All those different costumes. That looks like micro purchases right there.
Different skins.
Skins from a robot. So, yeah.
Oh, man, that's going to be a thing, dude.
Yeah. Look. Yeah, I told you. I told you. Robot in your home by the end of the year due to Hollywood superstars and or rich people buying them. And I can guarantee you this model probably costs, I don't know, 40 to 60 grand, maybe. Like, easily 30 to 60 grand, right? And I'm not even joking. If this was on the market, I'd put a down payment on it.
For sure.
Right? And like, so, like, sick. What about the articulation? Like, it's got touch sensors, obviously, in the fingers, so it can better understand, like, if it's gripping something too tightly, or even if it has a grip on something, I imagine. They put a camera in the hand as well, so that it can actually see what it's grabbing when it goes to grab something, and then it has enough sensor on the palm to know when the camera's covered up that it's now like on that object and it can close its hand around that object, right? Like, they're augmenting these things in ways that make them better than us.
Yes. So much of this, it's so easy to see where the human gaps are and then innovate into it in ways that you know that the human, like, we cannot, it's a gap. Like, we can't do it. Physically impossible. Like, mentally impossible, emotionally impossible. Like, they innovate. It's very clear map, right, of how to innovate with this stuff. And God, it's exciting, man. If you want to catch up or stay ahead, however you want to look at it, please join us for AI Skills Bootcamp starting next week on Thursday, October 16, 2025. Talking about strategic intelligence, not just functional, not just, hey, use this tool, like learn how to use the tool. It's like strategically understanding what's happening so that you can apply it immediately. Cause literally this is just a mindset difference, folks. Just saw a 72-year-old, you know, woman like learn how to use this and win legal stuff, right? I would imagine no legal background either. No. Like evicted. Like these common problems that she's using AI to overcome. Our goal with this course is like see it, believe it, feel it, touch it, then use it. And like win with it. Create value with it. Okay. So I'm gonna try and get better and start talking about it earlier in these episodes, but it's hard, man. This is
I know.
Exciting stuff.
You see something like that and it's like, world is changing.
Yeah. So until tomorrow, everybody have a great Wednesday. Thanks, Nico.
No problem. See you guys.